It's now time for the Fantasy 411 Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Fantasy 411 Podcast at MLB.com. I'm your host, Dylan Higgins, joined by my co-host, Fred Zinke. Fred, how you doing?
Well, I gotta be honest, Dylan, I'm getting a little nervous. It's crunch time in the big leagues, and you know, I don't know if you're getting nervous. Are you feeling nervous this time of year?
Oh no, I'm in the basement in my leagues. I'm done.
Maybe being in the basement is the stress-free way to be.
Yeah.
You know, in September, but yeah, I always say over a season, everything evens out. So you know, the bullpen blows the win your starter was going to get, or one of your starters has a terrible start, or you lose a hitter for 3 or 4 days to a minor injury. Everything will even out. Everybody has their ups and downs, but we've hit that late point in the season where everything's not going to even out from here on out. If you have a bad week, you might not have time to recover. So I'm hitting nervous point.
Yeah, I was on the bubble in a head-to-head league, and I think this last loss last week probably has me out of it. But yeah, so I'm not too stressed about it, but it's okay. It's all right. I thought you were going to say you're worried about your Blue Jays, maybe. Are you stressing out about Blue Jays nearly as much as your own personal leagues?
No, I got to be honest. I think I'm stressing out more about my fantasy teams right now because, let's be honest, I have very little control over what happens with the Blue Jays, but at least I have some control over what happens with my fantasy rosters and who I choose to use here down the stretch. So there's enough stress to go around. I'm definitely, staying up late, or first thing I do when I wake up is check the box scores. Mm-hmm.
Well, I might ask you some more about those at the end of the show, but let's get into what's going on in real baseball this week here. Early September, the biggest news coming out lately the past week or so has been this whole Matt Harvey debacle, which is a little bit dramatic and a little bit of stuff going on, you know, personally and with teams. We don't care as much about that, but it definitely relates to fantasy, especially as we talk about innings limits for Matt Harvey and a lot of other players. They're kind of figuring that out. Looks like Matt Harvey isn't going to be, you know, used every time out down the stretch. And some of that relates to playoffs, which also doesn't relate to fantasy. But Fred, what are you taking away from this whole Matt Harvey situation with him? And then, how does it affect some other players you might be looking at?
Sure. Well, I mean, you know, it looks like now if he makes more regular season starts, which I expect that he will, it might only be another start or two, which is going to limit his value. At the same time, I don't think you really drop him. Mm-hmm. What you're looking for is to get some sort of picture from the Mets as to when he's going to start again. I know they've already said that maybe that'll come when they play the Yankees later next week. Maybe they'll use him. I think they have one more series against the Nationals, but it'd be nice in a weekly transaction league. You kind of need to know that he's going to make a start in a week before you put him in your lineup. In a daily transaction league, it's not so bad. You just put him on your bench and you wait and hear the news. And I mean, it's not like they're going to announce 4 hours before a game that he's starting. You're going to know, you know, but I would hold him in most leagues because a one start week for Matt Harvey, it wasn't yesterday, you know, on Tuesday against the Nationals, but usually it's a good thing.
Yeah, he's one of those top fantasy options, at least when you know he's going to be on the hill. We had a Twitter question during your Twitter Q&A that we have every week. Kenny Boom Boom at Needs to Knows was asking, look, he's headed into the playoffs. He's got 3 weeks left. He's a number 3 seed. You know, you're worried about those head-to-head matchups in the playoffs where, you know, one big start can change it. Would you drop Harvey after Tuesday is what he asked.
Yeah, I mean, I probably wouldn't, just because, you know, I'd feel, if you're dropping him, you're going to be dropping him for probably a marginal starting pitcher. And I'd feel silly if, you know, if I dropped maybe the best pitcher on my staff and then found out he was making one start, you know, next week or in a key playoff week for me and I didn't have him anymore. I mean, could you also imagine if you drop Harvey and the person you're playing in the playoffs picks him up and then uses him against you and, you know, and he has a dynamic start. So, I mean, I know that the start might not be an 8-inning start, but it, you know, the way the Mets are playing, if he throws 5 innings and gives up 1 run and gets a win, like that's pretty good for you. So yeah, I would say it's different for every league and every situation and how shallow your league is, but I think I would keep him. I don't know. What do you think? Would you keep him?
Yeah, you got to keep him for at least till there's more information. You know, you're not rushing out to drop him. And again, who are you really going to grab here in early September that's going to make that big a difference? And are they still going to be there in another week? I like playing these matchups as we go down the stretch for sure. But I don't know who you need right now that's not going to be there in a week, at least in terms of picking these matchups. So keep an eye on the situation, obviously, if they say, hey, this is his last full start, you know, or hey, we're going to shut him down for a few weeks and then ramp him up at the end of the season. Who knows? Like, then sure. But right now, yeah, he's still pitching. Still got to use him. You know, you're not going to get rid of him before he's done. So
one other thing,
but definitely like keep an eye on it for sure.
Yes. Sorry. One other thing I will say about him is the one time I can see dropping him, if you're in desperation mode and you can't wait 10 days or something for a possible next start, mm-hmm. and you want to drop him and start streaming pitchers. I mean, especially leagues that have, say, innings caps or starts caps, and mm-hmm. you're well below them. Then I can see the rationale in it sure. where maybe you can get four starts out of various pitchers before Harvey goes mm-hmm. back on the mound. So that it, there are situations where you could drop him.
Yep. The other big news we got coming up, and what I think we'll probably talk about a few times during this episode, your boy Marcus Stroman comes back, scheduled to pitch on Saturday. I know you had touted him, looking for him to come back, maybe making a difference. Now he's come back and he's joining the rotation. On a scale of like 1 to 10, how excited are you? Obviously he's a Blue Jays fan, but more like in fantasy, are you running out to grab him down the stretch in most formats?
In fantasy, I'm going to say I'm more like a 5. I don't think we're going to see the 7 innings, 2 runs Marcus Stroman that we saw often down the stretch last season. I love this guy long term. I like his makeup, his competitiveness. I think he's a terrific pitcher. But this is someone who's come back, albeit a knee injury, but come back from a serious injury and has just made a couple rehab starts. Looked good in one, looked poor in the other. Mm-hmm. He says he feels great. The reason that one of the reasons I'm lukewarm is, like you said, his first start's going to come on Saturday in Yankee Stadium. That's not an easy place mm-hmm. for him to come back to the rotation, and there's a chance, depending on how the Blue Jays line up the rotation, that his next start could come against the Yankees again. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, or he could have one other start in the middle and then a third start that comes against the Yankees again. So, I mean, it's not like he's picking on the Marlins or the Braves or, you know, over and over again. So I would like to own him if I have a good spot on my roster, but I'm not going to dump someone who's important to me to pick him up.
Yeah, yeah. When we talked about a lot the last couple episodes, these matchups down the stretch are king, you know, and we'll talk about that some more, but really, you know, the best pitcher, if they're up against, you know, they're going bad places, they're not nearly as useful, and you got to look really closely at the schedule because that's what matters to go down the stretch. So good pitcher, exciting to see him back. I want to see him pitch, and he's worth, you know, taking a flyer on depending on how bad you need the help, but probably not a must-add in all formats. Okay, so here's another Twitter question coming from Paul Glode at PGLads8, and he wanted to know, would you drop Drew Smyly or Chris Medlin for Marcus Stroman?
I don't think I would. You know, without having their upcoming schedules in front of me, I would not drop Medlin for him. Mm-hmm. Smyly, I'd be a little on the fence. If he had some tough matchups coming up, then I would consider dropping him for mm-hmm. him. So I'd kind of on the fence there. I mean, for 2016, I would rather have Stroman than either of those pitchers, but they're both more likely to go deeper into games and, mm-hmm. and not be rusty. So, yeah, I like adding Stroman, but like I say, not at the expense of someone who, you know, you could be also high on.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. Worth a look, but not a must-add. Another guy coming back, probably not sitting on the waiver wire, though. There's word that Jose Fernandez is going to be back on Saturday versus Washington. We had talked about that possibility, but that seems like that's going to happen. Again, he's probably not sitting on the waiver wire. If a owner did give up on him, that's obviously a must-add. But, yeah, it looks like he's going to get some starts in down the stretch. Is there much to take away from this fantasy-wise, Fred, or pretty much if you got him, go for it?
Yeah, I mean, different than Stroman. Fernandez is on another level. If you own him, and you know, you start him right away. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But I think you have to go. His career numbers are incredible. Like, you have to go back to him right away.
Yep, yep. There's not much to take away from that, I would say. Some of the things that James Paxton is supposed to be back on Sunday. He'll get Colorado. He's been away for a while and also hasn't had that heat to his ceiling. Are you that interested in Paxton down the stretch?
Not really. The Rockies matchup's actually a pretty good one. The Rockies mm-hmm. don't hit well on the road, and they don't hit well against left-handers. So mm-hmm. it's a pretty good matchup for Paxton. But I don't think I would own him in a 10 or 12 team league. Would you own him in one of those formats? I feel like he's deep mixed at best.
It's a matchup, and if you need it, if I'm in head-to-head and I'm streaming, you know, it's on Sunday is the other thing, and Sunday's
true.
A great streaming day because you look and you're like, oh wow, my WHIP and my ERA already stink, but I'm close on wins. Or like I'm close on strikeouts. That's Saturday, Sunday for me is streaming days, you know, unless you're protecting those ratios. So, it's a cop out answer, but completely depending on context, like I'm at least a little interested, but yeah, it's not a run out and grab him type guy for sure. Keep an eye on him. He's showed a lot of talent before. Kind of a nebulous pitcher to me, trying to figure out exactly what he is, but at least has my attention for sure. And then let's talk about some guys that have been absolutely red hot. Nolan Arenado is just kicking off September with a bang. He had homered in 6 straight games, which was a Rockies record. 7 homers in his 9 September games. That gives him 37 on the year. He's still 24 years old. A lot of people picked him to break out this year, and that's looking good for those people who are in on him. Where do you have him for next year, though? Is he already like a first-round guy? What's going on with Nolan Arenado? He's still in his prime or even entering his prime.
Yeah, to me, I don't think he's a first round guy next year. I think he's a second round guy. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't argue with someone who wanted to make him a second round guy. I feel like he doesn't steal bases and his batting average isn't really high. So if mm-hmm. you're picking him in the first round, you're really counting on 40 home runs. And sure, he's a 40 home run guy this year and he could be a 40 home run guy the next year. And I do like to bank on Coors Field players mm-hmm. to have great seasons. At the same time, his power is really amped up this season. So I don't think any of us would be shocked if he dipped down to say 30 home runs next season. And if you're 30 home runs and not many steals and a decent batting average, but not a 300 hitter, I think now you're a second round guy.
Yeah. Yeah. The point is he's made a big jump though. And I think people have taken notice. He's a guy to be excited about, you know, and some of that might be Coors Field, but all the stats matter. They still count.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. I just 24 years old. There's a lot of upside there. I can see people being excited about that. Alex Rodriguez, we've mentioned on the show before, also hot again. He has home runs in 4 of his past 5 at the time of recording. 30 on the year officially. We've liked him. He's streaky, but I think we've agreed it's always worth attention. Anything to draw from that down the stretch for A-Rod?
No, I think you're right. When we talked about him when he was cold, we both agreed to just stick with him and not to sell low, and we weren't concerned about his age. And I wonder if that time, he had a few days off in a row. I know they went to Atlanta, and mm-hmm. he didn't start any games in that series. And I think a sandwich right before that series, they gave him additional time off. So he had almost an entire week off. And, you know, maybe that was really good for him, or maybe this is just the natural ebbs and flows of the season. But this is a guy who still can provide, like, major help for mixed league owners.
Yeah. He's, you know, where do you think he goes next year is the other thing. He's obviously not, you know, a top pick, but he's made himself pretty darn fantasy relevant again, yeah?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he's probably a mid-round pick. Here's a good question for you. Who would you rather own next season, A-Rod or David Ortiz?
Oh, boy. That is a good question, putting me on the spot.
They're almost identical this year. Like, they're both right around 30 home runs, hit in the middle of, you know, solid lineups.
Yeah, they got a good park. You know, both of them do. I'm probably go A-Rod, and that hurts me on the inside, but that might be right. You know, the Ortiz has a lot of potential, and he's, I don't know. You have me very in my head about this one. My hunch is to go A-Rod there. Just a little more talent, and showing up more this year. And also the lineup, the Red Sox lineup should be really good and was obviously disappointing this year. And I think most people think it'll rebound next year, but you don't know that for sure. So, I don't know. That's a really good comp to put me on the spot. I lean A-Rod, but I don't think he'd be crazy to go the other way. It's going to be pretty similar players, and probably both just DHs next year, too.
For sure. And, you know, if I've learned anything about fantasy baseball, it's that next year, A-Rod and Ortiz will both go much later in drafts than a ton of young players with more potential but less production, and by the end of the season, the owners will be happy that they took A-Rod or Ortiz. I mean, how many years have we seen in the last 5-6 years, Ortiz continually goes later than so many young players with, you know, quote, upside, but haven't done it. And then by the end of the year, there's Ortiz sitting there again with 30 home runs, and the owners that took a lot of these young guys didn't get what they hoped. You know, I mean, guys like Christian Yelich went way ahead of Ortiz this season, and you're just better off often with the veteran and hope that he can hang on for one more year.
Yep, absolutely. I have Ortiz sitting entrenched in the DH spot in one of my leagues for sure. Boring, but dependable. He's doing it. So yeah, those guys are hot. All those things look good for them. One guy that's been real cold when the things go bad for the veteran, Victor Martinez, is back, and he's been sick, is what they say. He's out of the lineup on Wednesday, but when talks about him not only getting moved down to lineup, if he doesn't produce better, they're going to get some of these rookies a look in September. What do you do with Victor Martinez at this point?
Yeah, I mean, if you're in a shallow league, I think it's time to bench.
Yeah.
In a deep league, you might not have a choice, and there might not be anything on the waiver wire for you. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm totally fine with benching him. I'm not writing him off. You know, I'm still interested in him for 2016. And he might be a nice value pick next season, but I mean, he just never came back from that preseason, you know, offseason injury mm-hmm. and got on track. So, and I mean, we weren't expecting a huge power season like he produced last year,
right?
Better than this, right?
Yeah, pretty much. And yeah, pretty soon your decision might be made for you because, you know, in your fantasy league, you think about benching him. But if Brad Osmus is benching him and he's not even playing every day, there's not much to get from him. So I agree. I'm a little bit intrigued for next year as, you know, a late round flyer of a guy that could bounce back in a good lineup. But right now, looking bad in September. And as we say, you just got to go with who's hot over these final weeks. And it's not him. So it might be weird to put him, you know, on the bench instead of someone else, but you might have to keep an eye on that, and hopefully he can break out of that. And then I want to give you an opportunity to brag, maybe beat our chest a little bit. One of these guys we featured looking at the calendar, just playing the matchups, was Bartolo Colon. And you were really high on Bartolo Colon down the stretch. And after last week, so far so good. He did get to go to Miami. That's a really good matchup for right-handed pitching. And he threw a shutout on September 5th. I can't ask for a lot more than that. He didn't rack up the strikeouts. You don't expect that. But so far so good for Bartolo. And you got to still be on him down the stretch, right?
Absolutely. I mean, he was just named NL Player of the Week. And this week, you know, he's going to face the Braves in Atlanta. Great matchup. I believe next week he's going to face Miami again. So, yeah. And that was really what we highlighted about him was he was the prototype this season for an average pitcher who had just a terrific September schedule. And, you know, you're going to get so many appealing matchups. You want him in your lineup now down the stretch in every league.
Yep, that's going to be real helpful, you know, from a guy that you might pick. You know, he's clearly not as good of a pitcher as Marcus Stroman right now. You know, next year, you know, without a doubt, it'll be Stroman rounds ahead. But for down the stretch, you want, you know, the guy that's going to pitch against guys like the Braves and the Marlins. So, you know, high five on that pick, and hopefully it stays hot for you. Let's talk about some injuries. Some guys are going to be missing some time that you either need to drop or find a replacement for. Nate Eovaldi needs to be dropped in all your redraft leagues. He's out as right elbow hurts. Bad news for the Yankees, who are trying to make it into the playoffs, and he had been pitching well for them. Do you take anything away from this? Obviously, he's done in redraft leagues, but anybody stepping in his place that you like?
No, I mean, they put Sabathia back in the rotation. They'll go back, you know, they talk six man. Now they'll just stick with five. And Eovaldi's a nice, you know, sleeper type pick for the second half of drafts next season. But yeah, like you said, you got to drop him right now.
Yep. Bad news for them. Hanley Ramirez landed on the disabled list since the last time we recorded. His right shoulder's been not great. They're not going to rush him because they're not in contention. A very talented hitter that just hasn't been right. He's been batting 183 with no home runs since the All-Star break. So almost feels like a blessing if he was in your fantasy lineup. Now you no longer have a choice about hoping he'll rebound. He's on the DL. He could be back this year, but you're pretty well done with him in 2015.
Yeah, I would drop him in all leagues. You know, a good question for him, Dylan, is where do you see him going next season? I mean, he could be a real buy low option. The second half's been so bad. Maybe playing at first base takes the pressure off him physically on defense, and you know, when he really comes around, I don't know.
Yeah, he'll be a really interesting offseason guy to take a look at and see how things go. But should still have, you know, obviously outfield eligibility next year. But yeah, pretty much done with him this year. It's too bad. Like I said, the Red Sox have had a frustrating time on both sides of the ball this year, but still a lot of talent in that club. I think they're in for an interesting offseason. A lot of people feel that way, so keep an eye on him. But for now, done. On the other side of that rivalry, Mark Teixeira also hit the DL finally. He'd been banged up for days, you know, not playing on crutches. They finally decided to put him on their right leg issues. They're hoping he'll come back this season, but they're not sure. Are you done with him as well?
Probably. You know, I mean, if I have DL space, or, you know, if I'm in a really deep league and I just don't like anything on waivers, then I'd hang on to him. Maybe I can get a good week out of him, or a good 10 days out, or 2 weeks out of him at the end of the year. But yeah, I think in most leagues I'd drop.
Yeah, you don't know what you're really going to get from him, you know, in the last week or two when he comes back. So yeah, redraft leagues, done with him. But overall, a good bounce back season for him. He'll be worth attention next year. Kyle Schwarber, the Cubs rookie phenom, is back. His side hurts. He's been hung out for a bit. You know, day to day, he's back in the lineup, but they're not going to let him start at catcher very often, if at all. So he's in, he's hitting, you can put him back in your lineup. Are you worried about his performance, though, down the stretch? Because he's clearly not 100% healthy.
Yeah, I feel like, because he's a catcher, I feel like I would use him anyways, don't you? I mean, can you really find someone good enough? Let's look at his own team. Would you rather use Schwarber or Miguel Montero?
Right, and I think that's a good comparison, because I like Miguel Montero, but you probably want Schwarber because he's been amazing. I don't know, he's a rookie, he's relatively unproven, but you want that upside at catcher, absolutely.
Yeah, so, how about this? I feel like you give him a few days in your lineup. Yeah. If he goes 1-for-20, then sure, you could say it's the injury and you're going to then go in another direction, but I mean, you'd feel like a fool if you bet Schwarber for Montero. And then he just kept doing what he's been doing and hitting home runs.
Yep, you gotta be a little farsighted, a little patient, put him in there. And I think, you know, if he starts hitting like Russell Martin's been hitting, who's also openly injured, and he's just been a mess at the plate, then you can, you know, for the last few weeks, maybe sub him out. But right now, you gotta trust the Cubs that he's okay. So he's back, he's in. We're playing in the outfield, but should still be catcher eligible for you. Adam Jones has been out with a shoulder issue. He's been banged up a little bit too, kind of day to day. One of these problems with September expanded rosters is when guys are hurt, they don't land on the disabled list often. And it can be a problem in your leagues where they're clearly hurt, but they're not going on the DL. It's kind of the same thing in spring training where you want to use that DL spot, for guys that are, they're going to come back. But yeah, Adam Jones day to day, in and out. Are you worried about him down the stretch? Think he'll be able to come back and contribute?
Yeah, I'm definitely worried. I'm going to leave him. I would leave him in my lineup right now, but mm-hmm. I would monitor this because, like you said, if this was a June injury, maybe he would go on the disabled list, but late in the season, maybe he'll just try to gut it out. I mean, the Orioles are kind of out of the race. Maybe they shut him down at some point. We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. So keep an eye on that. Too much talent to really, you know, cut bait on unless you know he's going to be out for most of the remainder. Another guy, been day-to-day, Miguel Sano, another rookie phenom like Schwarber. They've both been incredible similarly. But he's out, he's day-to-day, you know, but he DHs, so people aren't as worried. He's been struggling a bit. He might be end up being a streaky player, but he's been so good, you got to hold on to him too, right?
For sure. Yeah, for sure.
He'll hopefully be fine. I don't think that one sounds as bad, but keep an eye on it. And then I want to talk about Stephen Vogt from the A's, who took an injury that there's no real diplomatic way to describe it, but he took a ball where nobody wants to take a ball, and it looked bad, and he's been out for a few days, been away from the park. Doesn't sound like anything real serious, and hopefully he'll be back in a few days. Fred, did you see this video, and are you at all interested in some of the backups in Oakland?
I did see the video, and, you know, yeah, poor Stephen Vogt. You know, Josh Fegley will get more playing time maybe for a few days, and he hits lefties well, so in a daily league, you could try to stream him in, but in general, no.
Yeah. I am admittedly a big Fegley fan. When he gets lefties, it's kind of a DFS option, which we don't discuss much on this podcast. But if you are, you know, in a daily, you know, league where you can make those changes and you have the bench room somehow, you want to start streaming hitters, that's a thing you can do. And again, you know, if it's head-to-head playoffs and you need to stay alive, like, that's an option. Definitely streaming hitters based on matchups. You'd have to pay a lot of attention, but it's something you can do in the right format. But it doesn't sound like Vogt's going to be out the rest of the season or anything, so keep an eye on him coming back too. And then Delino DeShields has been a player who's kind of impressed at the top of the Rangers lineup. You know, not a lot of expectations for him this year, and he earned himself the job and runs enough to be relevant, gets on base enough to get things done. He's been out a bit with the left knee. Do you still hold on to him? I mean, left knee might hurt his speed production down the stretch.
Yeah, I mean, it is something to worry about, but I wouldn't drop him. I mean, we've seen these base stealers before have lower body injuries like a knee, and then when they do come back in the lineup, like Delino DeShields really, really fast. He could have a little bit of a sore knee and still steal second base.
Yeah.
And the Rangers are going all out to make the postseason right now. So if he's on first and they needed to get him to second, he's going to go.
Yep, yep. And then one more guy, Brandon Crawford, left his game on Tuesday. Issues with his side, which has been, you know, plaguing him a little bit lately. He's become a really dependable fantasy player when he's in the lineup, you know, especially at shortstop. He's producing enough with the bat. Used to be all glove, but some power has developed there. But yeah, this has been banging him up a bit, and they need him. His replacement in San Francisco right now, it's Ahire Adrianza probably, and they might mix and match a bit. Is there anything to take from that? Hopefully he comes back, but anyone in San Francisco that intrigues you?
Not really. I do think maybe this is a bit of a wake-up call for Crawford owners. He hasn't been as effective in the second half as he was in the first half. So, I mean, if you've just been kind of keeping him in there because he was so great in the first half, maybe this injury has you maybe at least look around your waiver wire for a temporary solution and then, you know, go from there. But he hasn't been getting on base as well in the second half, and his power's dried up a little bit. So this might just be that wake-up call to look at other shortstops.
Yep, yeah. Especially, you know, like I said, in the last few weeks, if he's banged up and hasn't been as good in the second half, you don't have to hold on to him. You know, the name value goes out the window in September. So maybe find some other options. And then I have a list here of guys who are back from the disabled list. I'm going to do this thumbs up, thumbs down type thing. Let me know if there are any ones you have significant concerns about, or you're just ready to throw them all back in the lineup and go with them. So first, Matt Adams is back. Good to go? Put him in all your lineups?
No, total thumbs down. They're going to really limit his playing time and his opportunities, so I don't pick him up.
Okay, not interested. How about Corey Dickerson is back for the Rockies?
Yeah, I go thumbs up, especially when they go home.
Yeah.
I'm not expecting 100% Corey Dickerson, but 75, 80% Corey Dickerson probably gets you into a mixed league.
Still pretty good. How about Dustin Pedroia's back? I know you're not as excited about him as a player, but if you're a Dustin Pedroia owner, you know, and you needed him for a middle infield spot, you ready to activate him, put him in?
Yeah, I put him back in over the Eric Ibar types if those players were filling in for you. But if you found someone over the last couple of months, say Rougned Odor, you know, to replace him, who's hitting really well,
yeah,
then I don't feel the need to go back to Pedroia.
Yeah. Okay, how about Billy Hamilton, who's back and obviously can make a big difference on the base pass? Are you ready to put him back in?
Yeah, if you need steals, I mean, he's the most one-trick pony in baseball, but if you need steals, for sure, he goes back in.
He's back to defend his stolen base crown against D. Gordon, who has, like, 50 steals now. They're going to be close, but he should be good to go. Lucas Duda's back for the Mets. He okay? Good to go?
Yeah, I put him back in. I'm encouraged a little bit. He's joining a better lineup, you know, than he played in for a lot of the season, so I'm encouraged there.
Yep, okay. How about Joe Panik back for the Giants? You okay with him, if you were using him?
Yeah, I'm not excited about him. The Giants have already said they're going to limit his workload. Giants are quickly falling out of the postseason race. He doesn't offer a lot of power or speed, so you really need him in the lineup to help your batting average and to get some runs, and I'm not sure if that's going to happen.
Yeah, so a little lukewarm there. I got one. Randall Grichuk is back, and on Wednesday he played in center field, but they were very open to the fact that he can't throw. And so I don't know if you saw this, but he would literally catch the ball and toss it to the right fielder to throw it in for him. Are you worried about him on the fantasy side, on the hitting side? Are you putting him back in your lineup? They clearly want him in the lineup that much. Are you worried about him injury-wise, though?
Yeah, I'm going to be worried about him and worried about his playing time. I mean, they can't play him every day.
Yeah.
You know, field if he can't throw. So this has got to affect his playing time. And the Cardinals have the best record in baseball. So, I mean, they don't need to really force him in the lineup every day right now. And, you know, if a couple more weeks would help him, you know, with minimal playing time, then they might look to take that route because they're going to be in the postseason.
Yeah, yeah. So a little less excited about him. If you held on to him, consider him, but not excited about it. Looking for a better option. Two more. Will Myers is back. You know, good to go?
Yeah, his layoff was really long. So, you know, I'm not expecting miracles right away. And he did hit a home run, but hasn't been great overall since he came back. So deep mixed league, sure. Shallow mixed league, I think I'll just wait till 2016.
Yep. And then George Springer. All signs good to go. So ready to be a fantasy star down the stretch.
Yeah, he's so good that I feel like he has to go back into every lineup right away. Don't you think that he's just, like, you just have to put him back in? He's a different level than these other players we've talked about.
Kind of like Corey Dickerson. Even if he's playing at 80%, that's a lot of value. You know, he got back, might be rusty. It doesn't matter. He can homer, he can steal bases. He's going to be at the top of that lineup. So make sure you are back in on George Springer. Okay. Next we're going to talk about some of these waiver wire guys. Every week you write an article about some guys that you're ready to go grab, you know, and whether it's to help you in September or just, I don't know, everybody's always looking for guys on the waiver wire. At the top of your list, we already mentioned him, but Marcus Stroman is back, and he hasn't pitched this year, but he had a 3.65 ERA, a 1.17 whip, and 111 strikeouts and 28 walks last year. Pretty good. We're excited about him. So you suggest, we already talked about him, he's a guy to go check out, you know, be careful about those matchups, but worth some attention. So I ask you, would you rather have Marcus Stroman or Aaron Nola?
Well, that's a really close one, and I'm going to say I would rather have Nola. I think he has some favorable matchups coming up, and overall he's been solid. I would stick with him.
Yeah, he has a 3.56 ERA, a 1.14 whip, 51 strikeouts and 60 innings. Like, not a great strikeout rate, and I think that's going to be his flaw. When I go to draft him next year, that'll make me, like, hesitate. Like, not a ton of strikeouts, but, like, should be capable of good ratios. And like you said, if you can spot start him, pick, you know, when he goes to Miami, that's great. That kind of thing in the least. So I think I lean Nola here, too, just on matchups. Do you like Patrick Corbin or Marcus Stroman?
I know you're a big Patrick Corbin fan, so I feel like you're going to say Corbin, and I think I'm going to agree with you. It's kind of like Corbin's already gone through what Stroman's about to go through. Those first starts coming back, and he's ironed it out.
Yeah.
You know, matchups matter a lot, as you said, but I think overall I'm looking Corbin for the rest of the season.
Yeah, since he's been back, he has 61 strikeouts and 62 innings, which is better than he usually does. A 3.32 ERA and a 1.22 whip. Like, I don't know what more you want. Not you, royal you. Like, what do fantasy owners need? He's on a lot of waiver wires, and he's been good. And he was good in the past. He's shown it before, so I'm in on Patrick Corbin. How about Joe Ross, who's kind of trending in the wrong direction lately? Would you rather have him or Marcus Stroman?
Yeah, Stroman for sure. I think Ross is on his way to the bullpen, so or again, eventually getting shut down, and the Nationals are quickly falling out of things. So Stroman for sure.
Yeah, Joe Ross was a really interesting player there for a while, had a good run, but might be worth, you know, a peek at next year as well. I like him as a pitcher, but, you know, running out of gas right now, so it's time to get off that ship, I think. And then your boy Chris Medlin, he really touted and has struggled a little bit lately, but still has a lot of talent, and as we said, in one of the best situations in baseball to pitch, you know, pitching for the Royals. Would you rather have him down the stretch or Marcus Stroman?
Yeah, I would take Medlin partially because he's set up for two starts next week, so you can get that immediate help. I agree. He hasn't been quite as effective as I was hoping he'd be right away, but his whip's been good. He's just given up a few more runs than I thought he would, and that can be fickle. So, I mean, and he's just got, you know, after a long layoff and then time as a reliever, just gotten into the rotation. So maybe we'll see his best in the next couple of weeks. You know, kind of what Stroman's going to go through. He just, like I said with Corbin, maybe Medlin just went through it.
Yeah, and when it comes to pitchers with good peripherals that are still allowing runs, a lot of that can be defense, and it's a very messy, you know, philosophical issue almost about what's going on here with run prevention. But he pitches for one of the best defending teams in baseball, so you would like to think that that would turn around and he can get some more help stranding runners or keeping him off base. So, yeah, I still like Chris Medlin. He has a 4.88 ERA now, but that's got to come down, so I think he'll be okay. Another guy you listed who's been red hot, Jackie Bradley Jr., could maybe help in the outfield. 375 batting average, a 1.220 OPS, that huge four-digit OPS, and 7 home runs in his 33 games since the start of August. I can see why you like Jackie Bradley. How excited are you going forward?
Well, I mean, for 2016, I think the jury's still out, but for the rest of 2015, like, he needs to be active in all leagues. I mean, this is someone who's been, you know, depending on where you want to look, he's been the top fantasy outfielder in the last month. It's incredible. Yeah. And he's still sitting on waivers in some shallow leagues. Yeah. And I know he doesn't hit near the top of the Red Sox lineup right now, but who cares? This guy is so red hot and he's playing every day. You have to go with him.
Yep. Again, a 1.220 OPS, the four-digit OPS, by a bunch since August 1st. He's red hot and you just got a few weeks left. This guy could win your title for you, especially in playoff leagues and head-to-head. You just got to get him in and get that hot week out of him when it matters most. So he's red hot. You're interested. Would you rather have him or Jock Peterson, which would be an insane question if I asked you, like, in June, but he's been famously ice cold. Where are you going these last few weeks?
Yeah, you're right. Jock Peterson would have been an insane question in one direction in June, and I feel like today it's an insane question in the opposite direction. Peterson's been so cold in the second half. Yeah. I just don't see how you could use him over Bradley. Don't you agree?
Yeah, since July 1st, a 594 OPS. That's literally less than half of what Bradley's done since August 1st. I'm cherry picking. I'm very guilty of the arbitrary dates, picking it to make my point look good, but still, that's crazy. So Jock Peterson has a lot of talent. I want Jock Peterson next year before Jackie Bradley Jr. I'll say that now. Almost,
for sure.
Almost doesn't matter what happens down the stretch. But yeah, you got to go with Bradley right now, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. A little more of a boring, dependable guy. Mark Trumbo has 20 homers and is hitting 254, kind of quietly, but has a dependable power. Do you want that guy or do you want Jackie Bradley?
Well, I think you said it, the boring, dependable guy. I'll take Bradley every day and hope that I get a real splash to win my league instead of the boring guy.
Yep. But, yeah, a lot of people kind of gave up on Mark Trumbo, but I'm like, he's hit 20 homers. You know, he's warming up. He's a little streaky. You know, he's a frustrating player, but I'm not out on him. But I think, for me, it's context dependent. If I'm trying to catch up, I want Bradley. If I'm in first place, I might stick Trumbo. But it depends. But Bradley's the much more exciting one right now. Another guy, similarly, you know, no offense, kind of boring, Marlon Byrd, hitting 241 with 22 homers. He's not slowed down at all since joining the Giants. Would you rather have him or Jackie Bradley?
Yeah, Bradley for sure. I mean, players like Byrd and Trumbo, they're going to hit you a few homers down the stretch, but that's probably all that they're going to do. Mm-hmm. So, whereas Bradley had the potential to get the homers, and as he's been going, the high batting average.
Yep, there's much more upside there. And then one more guy, Marcel Ozuna. You know, got sent down from a struggling first half. It was kind of disappointing. He's been back. He's been fine since he's been back. 280 with 4 homers and an 851 OPS in 22 games since he's rejoined the Marlins. Are you in on Marcel Ozuna down the stretch, and would you rather have him or Jackie Bradley?
Oh, that's a really tough question because I feel good about Ozuna. I think I would take Bradley just because all winter I would feel like such a fool if I stared right at, you know, arguably the hottest outfielder in baseball right now and then didn't pick him up and then he just kept going at anywhere near this pace. So I think I would go Bradley, but I'm pretty impressed with Ozuna since he got back.
Yeah, I loved Ozuna last year. I didn't draft him anywhere, but I liked him coming into this year, and it was disappointing to see him struggle, but I think he's going to be fine. He's still pretty young, too, so I like both of them, which is not the answer, but that's an answer. Keep an eye on both. All right, so instead of a young guy that's been real hot out of nowhere, another outfielder you like, a little more dependable, Jason Wirth has had a really tough season, for sure, but last couple weeks he's woke up a little bit. Tell me what you like about Jason Wirth.
Yeah, just he's like really, really talented. One of the more talented hitters in baseball, and he's been that way for several seasons. And all season he's been really struggling. And you know, and I felt like he would come around eventually, and it took a really long time, but it's happening now. He's hitting high in the lineup, and you know the Nats are desperate. He's, I think, kind of making up for lost time right now, and he's sitting on waivers in a lot of mixed leagues. You can pick up someone who can help provide power, provide batting average, maybe even steal the odd base. Like, this is, I think, like, this is someone who was going in the mid rounds of fantasy drafts, and now he's sitting on waivers and he's hitting well.
Yeah, so he's there. He can definitely help for sure. So these last, you know, few weeks, this last month, would you rather have Jason Wirth or Odubel Herrera, who's still hitting 302 for the Phillies, 8 homers, 14 stolen bases?
Yeah, I'm really impressed with Herrera. I think if I needed the steals, I would go with him, but overall, I would take Wirth.
Yep, yeah. Herrera, again, yeah, he was hot, and I was waiting for him to cool off. Still season line of 302, so I still... Both are good options there. So would you rather have Jason Wirth or Will Myers, who also just came back?
Yeah, I'd say Will Wirth for sure. Yeah. Myers, like I kind of hinted before, I'm just not optimistic that he gets really back on track quickly down the stretch.
Yep, I have my eye on Myers, but I'm not rushing out to grab him. He's an option, but not a must-grab. Another guy who, you know, started hot and is doing well, would you rather have Jason Wirth or Stephen Piscotty batting 331 in 163 at-bats?
Yeah, that's a really good one, and I think maybe I would rather have no, I'm going to stick with Wirth. That one's really close for me because they're both hitting for average right now. Yeah. I think highly of Wirth. I would stick with Wirth, but I could totally see someone going, like we talked about with Bradley, just going for the young player who's hitting really well with Piscotty. I could get that. What would you do?
Piscotty, I totally believe in his hit tool. I think he can be a 300 plus hitter. I don't think it's crazy that he's hitting 331. I don't know if it'll stay that hot, but I think he's very capable of high average. People need to keep in mind, he's probably more of like a 15 homer guy, though. He's not going to be a huge slugger. You're liking him mostly, you know, for his average to help you out there. And so if you need average help, I like him. Jason Wirth can obviously also hit for average. Both were a little unproven this year. I think, you know, Piscotty has a little more upside, a little more exciting. But I don't know. That was totally a roundabout not answer. I go with Piscotty just because I'm scared by Jason Wirth's year. But I don't feel super strongly about it. Two more guys for you. Chris Davis of the Brewers. He's hitting 239 with 18 homers. Do you like that at all? And would you take him over Jason Wirth?
Yeah, I'm glad you threw Chris Davis out here because he is a terrific cheap source of power down the stretch. I believe he hit 10 homers in August, and he's just kind of that one-dimensional, like we talked about with Trumbo and Bird. Mm-hmm. Like Chris Davis, almost like a younger version of those guys. He just he'll disappear for a while, and then he'll have a nice month where he hits a lot of homers. If he's not hitting homers, he's not helping you.
Yeah.
For that reason, I would rather have Wirth. But if someone's really focused on that one category down the stretch, I mean, there might be no better source of homers on the waiver wire than Chris Davis, and he's on the waiver wire in a lot of leagues.
Yep, he can help out, especially against lefties, but yeah, good power to be had there. I think he's worth attention for sure. A lot of people have given up on him earlier. Hitting 239, not exciting, but you're right, if you need power, it's there. And then one more, would you rather have Jason Wirth or Jackie Bradley Jr.?
Well, that one's tough. I think I'm going to stick with Wirth. I guess that really shows how, you know, much I believe in him, but I like him hitting well at the top of the Nats lineup, maybe a little more than I like Bradley hitting well at the bottom of the Red Sox lineup.
Yeah, I take Bradley, but they are definitely worth attention. Yeah,
sure.
Both good guys to bring up. All right, let's look at some pitchers we like coming up for the weekend. Again, for me, the real value of this, especially for your head-to-head guys, you know, if you get to Friday, Saturday, and you just have an ERA over 5 for the week, go nuts. Just start picking some guys that are available, and it can be more aggressive. But you know, some of these guys are very capable of low ratios, too. So on Friday, the 11th, do you like Danny Duffy going to Baltimore?
You know, the Orioles are pretty ice cold, and, you know, he's got a nice bullpen to back him up. I think in most leagues I would pitch him.
Yeah. I'll be honest with you, never been a Danny Duffy guy.
Me neither.
I was interested for a while, and then he hasn't shown anything in the major leagues, and the strikeouts aren't even there. So I'm not, but it's not because of the matchup. Again, I think the matchup's good. I'm just not a Danny Duffy guy. But,
yeah, I just feel like the Orioles are so banged up right now with Weeders is not 100%, Jones is not 100%, you know, Hardy's just coming back, and it's just not the scary lineup that it used to be.
Yep, yeah, and, you know, if you want to play matchups like this, he's scheduled to pitch opposite Mike Wright, and again, pitching for the Royals is good, so he'll have bullpen help, he should have offense help. I can see it, it's an okay streaming option, for sure.
Sure.
Also on Friday, would you like Justin Verlander going to Cleveland?
Yeah, I think I would pitch him. The top third of the Indians' order is nice, especially against right-handers. Mm-hmm. But then after that, it falls off pretty quickly.
Yes, it does. Yeah, and he's still been okay. You know, he turned things around on August 9th. He threw six scoreless, and since then, he's allowed all of six runs in, looks like, six outings. You know, Verlander, I'm not ready to go super that he's back, you know. And that's earned runs, pardon me, as I look at the stat sheet. But still, he's pitching well, you know, a bunch of quality starts in there, and the Indians don't have a great bottom of the lineup, so I agree. I'm interested in Justin Verlander. And then Steven Matz, who I know you're all in on. He gets Atlanta. It's a good lineup. You got to be starting that one, right?
Yeah, every league. I believe the Braves are last in the majors in OPS against lefties, so,
yeah.
You know, this is a terrific time to use him.
Yep. If Steven Matz is, you know, sitting on your waiver wire, it's like, if you trust Bartolo, you know, down the stretch with that good matchup, I know you're in on Steven Matz. So don't let him sit on your waiver wire. He can help in every format, not just your deeper formats. Grab Steven Matz. On Saturday, the 12th, we already talked about him a bunch, Marcus Stroman in New York. Tell me, which leagues are you using him in?
Cool. AL only, I would use him.
Yep.
I think every mixed league, I would sit him, unless, as you said, you're in, you know, a head-to-head league and you just need innings late in the week. Other than that, I think I would sit him. Yeah. I would use him if I had to. I mean,
right.
For example, I'll say that I'm using him in Tout Wars this week because I picked him up on the weekend and we have a rule that you have to use him for the first week.
Right.
I wanted to get ahead of the curve and get him before,
right.
You know, there would be a rush to get him next weekend. So I'm going to have to just cross my fingers on that start, but I would have loved to have put him on my bench.
Right. I don't see it as a disaster start, just not a good one. You know, I don't want it, but I don't worry about him giving up eight runs or anything in Yankee Stadium, you know. So, yeah, he's going there. It's worth attention. Like we've said a bunch, pick him up, but maybe if you have the option, don't start him. How about Matt Moore pitching against the Red Sox at home in Tampa Bay? Matt Moore's back. Are you intrigued for this start and down the season?
I'm not. I've never been a big Matt Moore supporter, and the Red Sox, maybe the most underrated lineup in baseball right now. They've been playing really well and hitting really well in the last month. And because they're out of the race, I think people just kind of think of them as, oh, you know, they're a non-contender. Go ahead and start your pitchers against them. But they're not a good matchup for starters right now.
Yeah, they're still hitting. If you're desperate for strikeouts, you can get those, you know, from Matt Moore. He's capable of that, but he brings a lot of risk otherwise. So got to be careful there. Check his matchups down the stretch, you know, in September. Again, if you need the strikeouts, that's there. But other than that, it's hard to get behind it. And then how about Lance McCullers getting the Angels? I love Lance McCullers. I trust him just about every time out. Are you in here against Anaheim?
Yeah, I agree with you. I would trust him for sure. Yeah. Anaheim doesn't scare me.
Yeah.
They're not hitting well. They've been pretty cold just all around in the last month. They're kind of floundering. I love that series this weekend. I think it's going to be a really fun series to watch.
Yeah.
And I'd use him.
I think a lot of people gave up on him when he got sent down, you know, after a bad start, and they dumped him, and he was going to limit some innings and work on some things. It's been fine. Comes back. He's been good. You know, I'm all in on Lance McCullers, and he might be a guy I have my eye on for next year, given how well he's done this year.
Sure.
And then Sunday the 13th, Carlos Carrasco is back. He gets Detroit. Do you like that for him?
Yeah, I would use him. I'm glad you brought him up just because, you know, he's a terrific pitcher who really struggled in his first start back on Tuesday against the White Sox. But I mean, he gave up a 3-run homer in that game. If he keeps that ball in the yard, he probably looks a lot better. Mm-hmm. He said he felt fine. I think you go ahead and use him.
Yeah, and what's interesting here to me, not only Carlos Carrasco, who I start most times out, but Detroit is not that scary anymore, right? Victor Martinez is not, you know, doing anything. You know, no more Yoenis Cespedes. Miggy's great, but are you that scared of starting pitchers against Detroit?
Not really. I'm still scared of starting left-handers against them. Kinsler's a little better against lefties.
Yeah.
Victor Martinez is a little better against lefties. Rajai Davis is better against lefties. So there's not a lot of hitters in that lineup. I know, like you say, we don't really do DFS on here, but when I look DFS, there's not a lot of good hitters on the Tigers who are better against right-handers. So I feel good starting in right-handers against them right now.
Yeah, so I'm in on Carrasco. How about Rick Porcello going to Tampa Bay? He's looked better since he's been back. Are you... Probably not all in, but do you trust him at least going to Tampa Bay?
Yeah, for that start, I'm pretty much all in. I mean, he impressed me with his work against the Blue Jays earlier this week. I mean, that was a good test for him, and he passed it. And Tampa Bay's not a good lineup against right-handers. No. I would go for it.
That's another one of those. When I look for Tampa Bay guys to hit righties, there's not a lot that's inspiring, you know. So I think Porcello should be fine in Tampa Bay. Not a slam dunk, not a ton of upside, but I think he's safe. He should be fine there. And then Taylor Youngman going to Pittsburgh is another guy that's been doing pretty all right. Do you trust him on Sunday going there?
I would bench him. When we talked last week, I mentioned to you that I had some hesitation on him for the two-start week here. And I think you were a little surprised by that. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned that when he's had meltdowns this season, they have always been on the road.
Yes.
And then sure enough, this week on Tuesday, he had another meltdown, and it was in Miami, which is really discouraging considering that's the team with the worst OPS in baseball against right-handers.
Right.
And he couldn't throw four innings against them. So I'm going to sit him against Pittsburgh. Hopefully he's decent at least.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm coming back with him next week when he's back home.
Yep. Yep. Preferring him at home right now. He's a young guy starting to, you know, show those splits. Could definitely be a thing. All right. Let's, real quick here at the end of the show, look at some matchups for, some guys. First, two start pitchers next week. Guys that you might recommend, starting with Erasmo Ramirez, gets the Yankees at home and he gets, the Orioles at home. Do you like that?
Yeah, I would use him probably 12 team and down, you know, to deep mix. I would use him 10 team. I think I'm on the fence. Would you use him in a 10 team?
I love Erasmo. I was one of those guys fighting for him for years, even though he gave me nothing to believe in because he kept being bad. And then he joined the Rays this year and he finally did it. And I was excited. Yeah. And I'm worried he's running out of gas. He has not looked as good lately.
That's my concern too. And the Yankees are a tough matchup for him. Yeah. But I mean, he's at home.
Yeah, I like him a lot more in Tampa Bay. I'm pretty on the fence there. I think I've jumped ship a little bit, but I don't think you'd be crazy for doing it. A lot of people are excited about Martin Perez, who's, you know, had a few nightmare starts and has been back, but overall been pretty okay. He's at home, he gets Houston, and he gets Seattle. What do you think about that one? Would you consider him for both of those?
Yeah, I'm similar to Ramirez, where I would use Perez probably 12-team league and deeper, 10-team. I'm right on the fence. The Astros don't hit as well on the road, so that's a point in his favor. And some of the Mariners' best players, such as Cano, Seager, you know, even some of their lesser players, Seth Smith, Brad Miller, are better against right-handers. So he's got a pretty good matchup there. You know, I would look at him in a lot of leagues.
Yep. Okay. We already mentioned it. Chris Medlin's getting two starts, going to Cleveland and going to Detroit. You trust him there?
Yeah, I would use him, and we just talked about that we're not really scared of those lineups right now.
Yeah, at least not for righties. So if Medlin's sitting on your waiver wire, not only, you know, do you want to get him, but you want to get him in for that two-start week, that's an even bigger bonus. Josh Tomlin is at home twice, gets the Royals, which is not a great matchup, then he gets the White Sox, which I don't think people are scared of. Are you in on Josh Tomlin, and are you trusting him here for these two starts?
I am, and I'm glad you brought him up. He's a really interesting case. His career numbers aren't good. His numbers this season since he joined the rotation are outstanding.
Yeah.
And the book on Josh Tomlin has always been he doesn't walk many batters, but he gives up far too many home runs.
Yep.
Next week, he gets two teams that currently are in the bottom six teams in baseball in home runs. So the Royals aren't a great matchup for most pitchers, but for Tomlin, they actually might be a decent matchup. If they can't take him out of the yard, you know, he could limit that. He's been limiting everybody. I mean, he just threw a complete game against the Tigers. I would use him in most leagues just because the matchups are really favor him next week.
Not scared of the White Sox. That's a good one. And hopefully, like you said, has a chance to keep the Royals in the yard. So, yeah, interesting guy and available in most leagues for sure. Finally, another Rangers lefty, Derek Holland, gets that same matchup, gets the Astros and gets the Mariners. You got to trust him even more than Martin Perez, right?
Yeah, for sure. Use him in all leagues.
Yep, you got to go grab him. Basically, not only are we recommending him for these two starts, if he's sitting on that waiver wire, he can make an impact in September. So far, so good on Derek Holland. So grab him if he's sitting there. Go check right now, see if he's available. Because I think, in most leagues, going to help you out. And then finally, we like to try and mention some hitters that can actually help out. Like I said, you might actually be streaming some hitters down the stretch that might be able to help you out. Starting with the San Diego guys. They go to Arizona and they go to Colorado, every hitter's dream. Any guys you're targeting there from the Padres?
Well, I mean, you could look Jed Jerko in a deep league. I mean, those are two parks where he can hit a couple home runs maybe next week.
Yep.
You know, if you're on the fence on Derek Norris, this is probably the week that you use him. So those are kind of some you're on the fence. You're obviously already probably using, you know, you're going to use Upton and probably using Matt Kemp. So
yeah, and Jed Jerko's trying to give himself shortstop eligibility, which makes him a lot more intriguing, and he can hit lefties. So there might be matchups there that are helpful. And like you said, Colorado is always good. And I think I like Will Myers a little more than you. And if he's sitting on the waiver wire, this might be a good week to
use him.
Yeah, check him out. See if he can do okay in Arizona and Colorado. How about these Royals? Like we said, we don't love them getting Josh Tomlin, but they get 7 games going to Cleveland, and then they get Detroit, which is really juicy because Detroit cannot pitch at all. You got to like some of these Royals guys, right?
Yeah, I mean, Detroit, I think, other than the Rockies, is probably the best matchup in baseball right now, you know, for hitters to go into just because the rotation's a mess and the bullpen's a mess. So, yeah, I mean, if you're on the fence, I'm not really feeling good about Elcides Escobar because they put him down to the bottom of the lineup. But if you've been haven't put Alex Gordon back in your lineup, you know, this is the time. I mean, you're obviously going to keep the Benz Robres, Lorenzo Cain, Eric Hosmer, you know, active. Salvador Perez should be in your lineup.
Yep. Yeah. I think the guy that people might have been on the fence about is Mike Moustakas. And if you were, time to be back in, at least for this week. He has good stuff going on. How about the Minnesota Twins? They also get the Tigers, which we like. And then they're going to be, again, at home against the Angels. And they get a full 7 games next week. Do you like the Twins? And anybody stick out to you?
Yeah, I mean, Trevor Plouffe's kind of a fringy player for the active roster in a lot of mixed leagues. And this, you'll have to check and see when we get closer to it just exactly how the Tigers are lining up the rotation. But the Tigers have 3 lefties in their rotation right now. So if he's going to get a couple, and they're not good lefties, you know.
Yeah.
Matt Boyd, Kyle Lobstein, Randy Wolf, attractive targets there for Plouffe. So if he gets a couple starts against those pitchers, and then the Angels have multiple lefties in their rotation too.
Yeah.
So depending on how that lines up, if he gets Santiago, if he gets Heaney, I know they're not bad pitchers, but they're right in his wheelhouse for how he's effective.
Yep, yep. So it's a good Trevor Plouffe week, I would say. You don't get to say it that often, but you're right. It's the exact kind of guy that would be sitting there on the waiver wire and could help you out if you don't love your third base or corner infield option. Two more. Do you like the Nationals? They get to go to Philadelphia, and then they're at home against Miami pitching 7 games next week.
Yeah, I mean, the thing I worry about a little bit with the Nationals, if they have a big letdown, I mean, this Mets series hasn't gone the way they wanted it to, and they're starting to get a little banged up. But, I mean, overall, yeah, I'm going to get Worth into my lineup, you know, for people who are on the fence about him. Ryan Zimmerman, not so much because he's been banged up, but Wilson Ramos, you know, he's kind of fringy for one catcher leagues. I'm probably going to look to get him in the lineup next week, too.
Yep. Okay. And then the Blue Jays, best offense in baseball, no surprise there. You love them just about everywhere. They're going to Atlanta, who can't pitch, and they're at home against Boston, who's known to allow runs. They only get 6 games, but obviously you can't run out and pick up Donaldson or Tulo or Bautista or anybody. But are there any guys in that Toronto lineup that might be available that you want, you know, to get on a piece of the action with them next week?
Sure, and I'm glad you brought them up because we can highlight that the Braves are surprisingly right now a terrific matchup for hitters. I mean, their rotation has really gone south. It's almost like they're just trying to cobble together starts right now. Even Shelby Miller's fallen off a bit. Julio Teheran is fine at home, not good on the road. I mean, and then they really have a lot of young guys who haven't looked so good so far. So, and their bullpen isn't strong.
Yeah.
So, I mean, in a deep league, I can even consider using Ryan Goins next week. He's hit really well in the last, like, month.
Yeah.
And they're due to face a lot of right-handers next week. So, 15-team league, you could look at him just in the hopes that the Blue Jays score 7 or 8 runs 2 or 3 times next week.
Yeah. And Which they can do.
And he just gets in on the party.
Yep. There's guys on base when he hits a single, or, you know, if he gets on, it can get driven in, you know. And then, you know, borderline guys, Kevin Pillar, or, you know, I don't know, Ben Revere, if he's sitting there, shouldn't be. Guys, should be available.
Justin Smoke in a deep league.
Yeah. There's options. Anybody that can get in on the party with Toronto. That should just about do it for us this week. Fred, you got anything else before we get going?
nope, I'm just going to go back to being nervous about my teams, yeah. and we'll check back in 7 days, and I'll tell, it'll be a good thing if I'm nervous still in 7 days,
yeah.
because it'll mean that I haven't fallen out of the race. If I say I'm relaxed at the start of next week's show, then we yeah. know we're in trouble.
Going to be a tense month, but we're all rooting for you here at the 411, keeping an eye on you, making us proud, I would say. Yeah, well, that should do it for us. For Fred, I'm Dylan. Good luck with your teams down the stretch. You know, make sure to make those changes you need. Be willing to change things up, because these last few weeks are when it matters most. And, you know, names and track record is not quite as important as what you think can happen down the stretch. Anyway, good luck. We'll check in with you guys next week. See you then.